This afternoon, we're going to begin a new study. We're going to begin a study on the book of 1 Peter, letters of Peter. And just to introduce us to this, I'd like to do something fun. I'd like to build a background of the person of Peter and what he's written here from our own general knowledge. And I'd like to do it in a way that, such a visitation at the Wagner's house, they have a fun practice where they go around the family and one person, they're following up the sermon and one person will speak from their notes about the sermon and the next person has to fill in any blanks that the first person left. And the third person has to fill in any blanks that the first two left, and so on down the line until Bill is left with nothing to say at the end.
Did you describe
this as a fun practice? This is a fun practice. That's right.
So
it was fun for me. I learned more about my sermon than I. No, it was. It was very enjoyable. It's. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with those who are 8 years old and younger. So raise your hand if you're 8 years old and younger. Okay, you get first whack at this. I would like anyone in that group to tell me something about Peter. Anything that you know about Peter. William? Good, he was an apostle. Good, very good. He was a fisherman. Will? Okay, did what God told him to? Do you have a specific instant in mind? Yeah, very good. Anything else? Anything at all about Peter that you can remember? Okay, let's go on. Raise your hand if you are 15 years old and younger. 15 and younger. That's a pretty big group. How about 14 and younger? Okay, let's go with that. Okay, I'll open it up to you to see what you can fill in some blanks about Peter. What do you know about Peter, Abigail?
He rebuked Jesus.
That's right. He rebuked Jesus. What else? Anything you can remember about Peter? Good. He was a Jew. That's very good. He was a Hebrew. What else?
He denied Jesus.
That's right. He denied that he knew Jesus three times. Danny? Yeah. Yes, he did. Peter cut off someone's ear. Yeah. Vinny? He was a leader in the church in Jerusalem. Bridget?
He was with Jesus a lot.
That's very good. He was. He was with Jesus quite a bit. Did he?
He claimed to fight to the death for Jesus.
Yeah, he said, I'll go to the cross.
His name was James and Simon Peter.
Good. From Simon to Peter. William?
He walked on water.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, how about I'll raise the upper limit to 20 years old and younger and see what blanks we can fill in about Peter. Sam?
He wrote 1st and 2nd Peter.
Good, he wrote two letters.
Okay.
How did you figure that out?
Elizabeth? Good. Peter is a word for rock. Anything else?
Beth?
Ah, yeah, very good. One of the first Jews to have fellowship with the Gentile. Anything else?
He was one who was famous about one thing.
Okay, that's fine.
Wasn't Peter with a dream about the animals?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that was when he was told by God to go and bring in the Gentiles. Okay, I'm going to open it up to all ages at this point. And I'll give another minute or so for further observations. Vicki? Uh-huh. Good. Dave?
Church legend has it that he was crucified upside down, I think actually on the same day, although in different years, when Paul was killed.
Very good. Katie?
It was in the three apostles the Mount of...
Very good. Mount Transfiguration. He was one of the three that was there. I saw that. Yeah? 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 That's right. Uh huh. Good. Marion and Vicki? That's right. Yeah. That was yours? Bridget?
He went with Jesus to the top of the mountain when he was transfigured.
That's right. Good. Dan?
Paul rebuked him for not eating with the Galatian Gentiles.
Yep. Yeah.
The controversy surrounding the church history surrounds Peter and whether he is the rock of the church or whether the church itself is the rock.
Good, yeah, whether he's the first pope or not is what it boils down to, yeah. Yeah. What else? We'll leave that to the former altar boy to argue that one. Okay, well, one more, yep. Very good. That's right. Good. Okay. Well, this has been a fun way just to introduce ourselves to the author of this letter, and a fun way to remind ourselves of what Christ did in Peter's life. And I've drawn out several of the aspects of that I want to call to your attention here by way of introduction to this letter. Peter does identify himself in this letter as the author, both in just right off the bat in chapter 1, verse 1, and then later in chapter 5, he describes himself as a witness of the sufferings of Christ. When you do an introduction to a book, there are certain surrounding factors that help us to understand what's going on. To whom was Peter writing, and what was the occasion of his writing, and what else was going on in his life? And so if you were to look at a Bible study guide, for instance, the New Geneva Study Bible or any other study Bible type of aid, you'll read that they talk about the dating of the book or about what time this was written. And there's fairly strong agreement that it was written somewhere between the years 60 and 68. And reasons for that are that Peter shows a knowledge of some of the letters of Paul. And so there are aspects of Paul's journeys and Paul's missionary writings that go into play, or that play into the dating of this letter. And since he's familiar with those writings of Paul, he actually will make reference to them as he writes to churches in a very similar area. The upper date is largely fixed by when church tradition says that Peter was martyred, and Dave mentioned his being crucified. And that's usually associated with approximately, well, we can date when Nero burned Rome in AD 64, Nero burned Rome and blamed the Christians, and there was a level of persecution that rose against them. And we also date it in this time because in chapter 5, Peter says that he's in Babylon at that time. And Babylon can mean a couple of different things, but it's typically used in the New Testament to refer to Rome. So we believe that he was there either having ministered in Asia Minor having come there to minister to the church in Rome and being arrested under this general persecution and then martyred sometime after that. His occasion for writing is very obvious. He speaks of the persecution that the church is facing, but it's not of the intensity of some of the later persecution that we can identify in church history. It doesn't seem to have the character of the real official organized. Nero's persecution was bad, but later Roman emperors were very organized and methodical in their persecution of the Christian. What I most want to bring to your attention, though, are some themes that I want you to pay attention to and to look forward to in our study of 1 Peter. In the light of the readers suffering a level of persecution, one major theme for Peter is his exhortation to stand firm in the faith in the face of this type of persecution. And in that light, there are some supporting foundational themes that will come out. If you were to compare it to music, you might say that the main theme is the standing firm in faith. But there are harmonies or variations on that theme that play in and rise up in the music of this letter to illustrate. And there are three things that really come out in this letter. The first one that I would mention is that there is the joy of promised eternal reward. Let me just pause there and ask personally, in light of persecution, what's encouraging or how is there agreement in the theme or harmony in the theme when we speak of the joy of heaven? Of what good is that in persecution? Vicki? A light and momentary suffering that is replaced by an eternity of rest, of peace. Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa? Yeah. Yeah. So instead of being fearful in light of that persecution, there's there's courage and peace about that. The second theme I'd like to mention that rises up in that is that of holiness. And Peter has quite a bit to say about holiness. What does holiness have to do with persecution? How does that theme come out? Elizabeth?
You're persecuted because you stand out for something.
You're standing out for some reason, and that that life of holiness can make you a target, so to speak, if you use that. Dan?
Fiery trials purify us and lead to holiness.
That's right. And there's sanctification that takes place.
There can also be temptations to abandon holiness.
Very strong temptation to want to blend in or want to drop a certain behavior because it's you're receiving enemy fire and so wanting to lay low. Coupled with holiness, I would put a third one. Very strongly connected to holiness is just some very practical wisdom, practical Christian living issues that Peter brings up. So Peter does include instructions on how do we live in submission to governments, how do slaves and masters and husbands and wives relate together, especially in the context of there being a brokenness or there being Christians and non-Christians that are living together. And I would couple that very closely with the issue of holiness. In this light, the New Geneva Study Bible summarizes the message of 1 Peter as trust and obey. Trust and obey. And I'm going to close today just encouraging you as we launch into a study like this to prayerfully consider what challenges you're facing right now. And my guess is that there are decisions that you're facing, that there are issues in your life where God is working holiness, issues in your life where God is helping you to see the enemy pray for your enemy and to identify that, but to also understand that we are suffering persecution because of that stand for Christ. And I would invite you to read this week, to read the book in its entirety, maybe a chapter a day in your family worship or in your own personal devotions, but read all the way through 1 Peter and to note especially that theme of trust and obey and its sub-theses, and to think about Peter, to think about some of those things that we have mentioned about the individual, and I have some things here that I'll go into next week that you should expect to see certain things because Peter is the author. And so given that biographical information that we've in a fun way brought out, what are some things that you would expect to find in this letter from Peter? Because he denied Christ, because he was an apostle, because he was a fisherman, what are some things that might come through in a letter from him? We'll close there today and look forward to opening our study further next week. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this opportunity to open up a new book of the Bible and to be instructed by it. And Lord, as we face a variety of temptations and trials, I pray that you would be teaching us a very timely message of trusting in you and following after you, even in the face of persecution. Lord, our goal is that upward call of Christ, and we know that you will not forsake the work of your hands. So we have confidence to press on, knowing that you have laid hold of us for a purpose. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.